Okay, so we are continuing the last few weeks. We've been focusing on the first 6, 11 really chapters in Bereshit Genesis, and we've been looking at Nimrod and the Tower of Babel and the Babylonian, actually referred to as the Chaldean spirit that was birthed at that time, which represents all false religions, all deceptions and lies, and the Ruach just will not let me off this subject. So we are going to be looking at today Yeshua's warning in Matthew or Matthew 7 regarding his Sermon on the Mount. And also, I'm already working on notes for the next couple weeks regarding exposing the Chaldean spirit. Again, this spirit, which is directly from HaSatan, is again after our children, after God's people. It's been deceiving people into hell over the over 5,000 years from the very beginning, when HaSatan lied and deceived Adam and Hava, and they fell for his deceit. Now, to know, we need to know how the enemy operates. We need to know his deceptions. And as I was writing notes for the coming teaching, I was just coming up with so much stuff here that I was going to teach it this week, but there's just too much. I have to put it into a PowerPoint format, and there's some more research and notes. Actually, we're going to be looking at the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness, which is again the Babylonian spirit, the Chaldean spirit, versus the kingdom of light, the truth, God's word, and who God Elohim is. And again, so many people are ignorant of how HaSatan operates. Why do you say that? Because if they weren't ignorant of how he operates, many of these churches wouldn't be performing paganistic rites in their congregation and calling things holy that are not holy. Again, God has given us everything that we need. He's already exposed it. He showed us again how to we are to expose the darkness by shining the light of the world. When you know the truth, you will recognize a lie. So one of the things I learned a long time ago, and I don't know if banks still do this, but the way they were trained way back to recognize a counterfeit bill from the real bill was they got to know the real bill inside out. They knew every aspect of it. So when a counterfeit would come through, they knew right away, hey, this is a counterfeit, even though, so, close to the real, they recognize that counterfeit. It's the same way today with the emails we get that are false emails. They look like they're really in, they're sent out trying to rob from us, trying to get information from us, trying to break into, our accounts or, our financial information. But again, if you're smart, there's a way to know the real from the false, even though sometimes their emails look so real. A key is look at who the email's coming from. It won't be from who they say they are. Again, I've had to, and I'm sure we've all experienced that. And this is how HaSatan works. He is a deceiver. He is a counterfeiter. Yes, he has a limited power. God allowed that, again, for a reason, that we would know, again, how to combat him, and people would make righteous choices. And we're going to be looking at what the Word of God says. Okay, again, the Chaldean spirit, which was, again, goes all the way to Babylon, to the Tower of Babel, and that's where again, everybody spoke one language, one tongue. Most believe it was the Hebrew tongue, and they were unified for evil. They were, again, HaSatan inspired them because his MO, his way, what he has wanted from the very beginning is to be like God and to overtake God, overpower him, and receive that he would receive the worship. And this was the sole reason for them building this tower. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to do things their way. And God, again, scrambled the language. So out of this, we got 70 languages, that were spread out through the world, so they couldn't understand one another, and they were dispersed throughout the world. And even again, linguistics teach that, that those that know Hebrew, that a lot of these languages you can trace back the roots to the Hebrew. So we're going to be looking at again what Yeshua has to say. Again, he has warned us. He praised God that we have this word, that this holy word of Yahweh Elohim, his voice, his word speaking to us. Many people laid down their lives and died to preserve this word, so we should never take it for granted. So in Matthew 7, again on his Sermon on the Mount, this is his teaching to his Talmudim. He is warning them, showing them what to look for, and how we are to walk this life. We all know Yeshua defeated HaSatan, and all truth is found in his word. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, go in through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is wide and the road is broad, and many travel it, but it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The literal Greek translation goes like this: enter through the narrow gate, for spacious is the gate and broad the way leading unto the destruction, and many are the ones entering through it. For narrow is the gate, and being afflicted is the way, and the one leading unto life, and few are the ones finding it. So here again, the way of HaSatan is broad. It's like, it's like, well, you can believe what you want, you can do anything you want, everybody, God's not going to destroy anybody, he's not going to bring judgment on anybody. Again, that's all, and they're all worked-based religions. Again, so many people have been deceived, but when they hear the truth, many have come out of that deception and found truth in Messiah and have been set free and have been delivered. We need to know again how the enemy operates. And again, Yeshua laid it out. HaSatan comes for one thing and one thing only: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That Hebrew word for afflicted is the word ra'ah. In other words, our affliction is going to come from the evil one, HaSatan, and his workers. Again, Yeshua said that this road isn't an easy road, but it's the only road that leads to life. Tim Hegg, in his commentary on this chapter, chapter 7, and actually this is from our Matthew study. We went through the whole book of the whole Gospel of Matthew, or Matthew. Having given the general summation of the sermon, Yeshua now appeals to his disciples to commit themselves to his message. He does so by presenting four warnings, each in the form of a pair. Now we're just looking at the first few verses, but if you read the whole chapter, you see there's two gates. There's a narrow gate, there's a wide gate. There's two trees. The tree of, the truth and the one of deception. There's two claims, two builders. I want to pull up just a couple more scriptures that the Ruach gave me as I was preparing this. First one is Joshua 24, verse beginning with verse 15. The light's in my way here, I can't see. Okay. We'll begin with verse 14. Now, therefore, fear Adonai and worship him in sincerity and in truth. Get rid of the gods that your fathers had worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship Adonai. If it seems bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers worshiped that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will worship Adonai. There's only two choices. You're either going to worship the one true God of Israel, our Messiah Yeshua, or you are going to worship HaSatan, who gets his worship in every form of false religion and false gods and demonic worship. Then the people said, "Far be it from us that we would forsake Adonai to worship other gods. For it was Adonai our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all along the way as we traveled among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. But it was Adonai who drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites that live in the land. Therefore, we also will worship Adonai, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to worship Adonai, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not pardon your transgressions and your sins if you forsake Adonai and worship foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." So here again, they're saying, okay, no, we're going to worship God. But if you look in history, by the time you get into the book of Judges, you already have the tribes fighting each other. You have pagan worship going on. You have, again, being tempted into, worshiping the false gods that God warned them that they were not to follow, they were not to worship. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, "I call the heavens and the earth to witness about you today, that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you and your descendants may live by loving Adonai your God, listening to his voice and clinging to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell on the land that Adonai swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov to give them." Also in Deuteronomy 28, God spells out the blessings of obedience. It is a blessing to serve Yahweh. It is a blessing to do his will, but there's also curses for disobedience. This is, we open the door to the enemy to attack us by choosing the wrong thing, by choosing to listen to the lies of the enemy, by choosing to do things that are against the Torah of Yahweh. That's why we can't be ignorant of the word of God. We need to know what the word says. We need to, again, study and show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needn't be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because, again, the enemy is such a deceiver. He is, where even, Yeshua said, if the times were shortened, even the elect would be deceived. Even those who should know better would be deceived. Here, there's a call, the teaching of the two ways. It forms the opening of the Didache, which also incorporates the golden rule in its negative formulation. Again, the Didache was a document that goes all the way back to the first century. It was a document traced back to the apostles, how they discipled new believers, especially Gentiles coming into the faith, to teach them how to walk according to the teachings of Yeshua and the Torah. There are two ways, one of life and one of death. There is a great difference between these two ways. Now, this is the way of life. First, you shall love God who made you. Second, your neighbor as yourself, and whatever you do not wish to happen to you, so not do to another. Again, all the teachings of the Didache, and I shared this before, we had a class on it, all the audios are there, and even a Cliff Notes version of the book with the notes, but it's very interesting, and everything they taught was scriptural, it's from the word of God, but it was their way of, they were very strict on discipleship, because they knew that, what does the word say? The enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. So we need to be grounded in the word of God. Back to Matthew, now Yeshua is warning about false prophets. Again, we had, you can see false prophets in the Tanakh operating, when the true prophets, like example, Jeremiah was prophesying the Babylonian captivity and warning them what was to come and what they were to do and, how long they would be in captivity. Well, false prophets would come in trying to discredit what Jeremiah said, and says, no, nothing's going to happen. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be, you know, God's going to take care of you. Well, you know, guess what? What the true prophet said came to pass, Jeremiah, because they did end up going into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. But there's always false prophets there to bring confusion to people. Again, that's why we need to know the word of God. That's why we need to operate and get in the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshua said, beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree, good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit. Again, it's very popular today for people to call themselves prophets. There are true prophets out there. There is the office of a prophet, but not everybody who calls themselves a prophet are prophets. A lot of them are false, you know, saying things that are contrary to the word, predicting things that are contrary to the word. Again, there's a very thin line. Again, the enemy knows how to deceive, and we need to know, again, look at the fruits. We had one couple that came to visit our congregation, and they were really, quote, into the prophets. And what they said, well, we only follow the prophets. And I said, well, you better be following the word so you know you're following the right prophet. You know, they were impressed by, you know, these predictions and these shows. And, you know, Mario Murillo exposed a couple of them. They are totally, you know, again, they put on a big show. They say things and predict things that are, you know, contrary to the word of God. Not listening to a false prophet is part of the 613 commandments listed in the Torah. Deuteronomy 13:1 in the Hebrew scriptures, it's verse 2. If a prophet or someone who gets messages while dreaming arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes about as he predicted when he said, let's follow other gods which you have not known and let us serve them. So again, what's the key here? It doesn't matter that, again, this is a test here. It says, because everything I'm commanding you, you are to take care to do. Do not add or subtract from it. If a prophet or someone who gets messages while dreaming arises among you and he gives you a sign or a wonder, let me just, okay, let's go on here. So why are these verses linked? They talk about the same thing. The false prophet is he who adds or takes away something from the mitzvot, commandments that God gave in his word and his Torah. Again, both the rabbis have been guilty of this, and Christians have been guilty of this by adding on additional laws, you know, again, and mitzvot to follow, going beyond what the word of God says, and Christianity taken away. Oh, we don't have to obey that. We don't have to do that. You know, again, they're adding to and taking away from the word of God. We are God. What God gave us is what we need to know. Moshe warned them regarding Deuteronomy 4:2, in order to obey the mitzvot of Adonai your God, which I am giving you, do not add to what I am saying and do not subtract from it. You saw with your own eyes what Adonai did at Baal Peor, that Adonai destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor. I want to pull up that scripture there in Deuteronomy. Let me just, in Deuteronomy 13. So let's see, just a second. I want to go back so I can read the whole context of it. Deuteronomy 13. Okay. All right, beginning with verse 1. Whatever I command you, you must take care to do. You are not to add to it or take away from it. Suppose a prophet, so here he's giving an example. Suppose A prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises up among you and gives you a sign or wonder. And the sign or wonder he spoke to you comes true while saying, let's follow other gods that you have not known and let's serve them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Adonai, your God, is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai with all your heart and with all your soul. Adonai, your God, you will follow, and him you will fear. His mitzvot you will keep, his voice you will listen to, him you will serve, and him you will cling to. So here, again, I wanted to get the full scripture in context there. So again, it was a test. If, you know, it doesn't matter if that prophet, if what he was, if he could do signs and wonders, because you know what? HaSatan could do signs and wonders too. In fact, he's going to do them in the end of days via the false prophet. He's going to deceive people. And we see, again, there with technology today, it's very easy to do visual deceptions. Again, he has some power, but he is not all powerful. And we need to be aware, again, what is false and what is real. And the plumb line for that is the word of God. In Deuteronomy 4:2, the numerical value of the final letters of nor take from it that you may keep, velo tigru mimo lishmor et, is 613, referring to the 613 commandments of the Torah. What I also, the Bible study workbook I put together, it's almost ready, it's almost in printed form. But in the back, I put a list of all the 613 mitzvot and a place in the study section where you can write one of them or two a day and get familiar with them. Most people don't have a clue. I mean, they know the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the framework of the mitzvot or the commandments of Yahweh, but more details are given in the Torah about these commandments. Again, some, you know, just pertain to men, some pertain to women, some pertain to business or marriage, some pertain just to the Levites, or if you're living in Israel. But we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know what these commandments are, that, again, Yeshua is called the walking, living Torah. The books of Malachi and Revelation end by confirming the Torah, Malachi 4:4, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I enjoined on him at Horeb, laws, statutes, hukim, and rulings, judgments, and mishpatim for all Israel. Revelation 22:17-19, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. And let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. I warn everyone hearing the words of the prophecy in this book that if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words in the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city as described in this book. So here's again another warning, especially, excuse me, I gotta get some water. Regarding the end times and the warnings that God has given us. Again, there's a lot of false prophets rising up. There's so much information I want to share with you that I've been doing study and research on. First, 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cleverly concocted tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, a voice came to him from the majestic glory. This is my this is my son whom I love. Excuse me, my voice is. Oh, enemy doesn't want this word. Oh. Just a minute, I'm going to pause. I'm going to